You're listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the Sheffa Podcast Network. Join Rabbi Joey as he guides us through the world and major works of Kabbalah, Hasidic masters, and Jewish philosophy, shedding light on the inner life of the soul.
Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, as we find ourselves getting close to Elul, we find ourselves getting close to the death of the year, where the expectation of Hashana turns into the reality of just a regular Shana, where what we thought would be the year turns out to just be another year. And we find ourselves collapsed, so to speak, at the end, at the edge, at the boundary of what it means to have been part and parcel of the previous year's cycle, getting ready for the beginning of a new year. And one of the feelings that is cultivated, especially in the writings of Chassidus, as the Arizal explains, is that Elul is like an ir miklat. Elul is where a person runs to at the end of the year when they realize that I have killed something accidentally this year. An ir miklat, ana liado v'samtalo, when a person finds themselves in a strange situation where they're liable for an accidental murder and they're being chased by the Goel Hadam, rightfully chased by the experiences in this world that want to seek retribution and anger and frustration. When a person finds themselves in that spiritual state of mind, being chased by all of the things that didn't take place this year, by all of the things that still need to begin to take place this year, even though I'm at the end of the year, a person finds that they're running and we're not sure what we're running from, and we are searching for a city of refuge, searching for a place. Elul is hine makom iti. Elul is the Rabban Shleilam saying, there is a place with me. There is a place that you can run into in your miklat, the secret of tshuva, where you can enter in with all of your lichluch, with all of the brokenness, with all of the struggle, with all of the dirtiness. And instead of trying to change, instead of trying to fix everything, I can sit calmly in my own space, recognizing that, yes, there are things that need to change. Yes, there is a Goel Hadam outside the door, but here in this place, in Elul, I have the ability to tap into my truest self. I have the ability to tap into that idealism that I live with in the innermost point in my heart. Elul is an ir miklat, but to be susceptible to an ir miklat, says the Sfas Emes, is to be a person who feels that they have no place. The ir miklat is not a place for people who feel that they have a place. It's only when I feel that I am placeless, when all of the places that I theoretically set up for myself for this year have fallen apart, and all of the dreams of what would make this year successful have not come into fruition, that is when a person feels helpless. That is when a person feels like they're without place. And it's specifically there when we give up on finding the place that we thought we would find, that hine makom iti, a place opens up with the Rabban Shleilam, ana liado v'samta lo, which is Rosh Tevos Elul, and we run into the city of refuge. Now, what is it that we learn in the city of refuge? What is it that we learn in the Ir Miklat to prepare us for the Yamim Nara'im, to prepare us for judgment, for focusing on the process of being deemed worthy or unworthy in one way or another? Now, one of the ways that the Tzaddikim gave us insight into how to elevate ourselves and move ourselves in the right direction in the month of Elul in preparation for these days is going to be cultivating, very simply, empathy. Empathy, compassion for another human being is the key, is one of the surefire ways that the tzaddikim give us to be zoicha bedin. As the Gemara tells us numerous times, that if a person wants rachamim, if a person wants compassion from the Rabban Shleilam, then the singular tool that ensures that compassion is our compassion on others. Our compassion not only on others, but compassion on ourselves. And what we're going to see is that compassion, rather than being some psychological tool or spiritual tool that can be used in the last-ditch effort to try and awaken some sort of merit, rachamim, compassion, empathy, is in truth the guiding principle of what it means to be a neshama in a guf. The entire purpose of a person coming down into this world is to do another person a favor, not because it's instrumental and I can help another yid, that's also true, but because ontologically speaking, on a spiritual perspective, there is nothing better for me. Forget about the other person who's benefiting from the kindness and the compassion I'm giving. There is nothing better for me than to cultivate a sense of compassion for another person. And to begin, and there's many routes that we can take with this idea, but we're going to keep it simple and focused on the singular center point of cultivating empathy for another. There is a notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for a reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. The Arizal gives numerous reasons. But Rabbi Nachman comes along utilizing language from the Arizal and says, I'd like to paskin this question. The purpose of the creation of the world was because the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wants to be Megala his Rachmanus. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam wants to have compassion, wants to have empathy, so to speak, on others. And there's no greater place to have empathy on others than in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created. Rav Yeruchim Lubavitz of Mir said that this world is a hospital. Simply put, it is a hospital. Each person is struggling in their own way, some less, some more, but all on a relative scale of suffering. And Rav Yeruchim asks, why? Why did the Rabbeinu Shel Olam create a hospital? Why did the Rabbeinu Shel Olam create a Beis Cholim? And the reason, says Rav Yeruchim, is so that we can learn to have rachamim on one another. This world is a Beis Medrash. This world is a Beis Medrash. This world is a university to cultivate a sense of shared experience, shared humanity, which gives birth to earnest and honest empathy and compassion towards the other. The purpose of the creation of the world is so that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam can look at us and see us in our efforts, in our struggle, and be able to say, I want to give to you what you can't give to yourself right now. To have compassion, to look at us in our context, and not to judge us based on the content of our behavior, but rather to judge us in accordance with the context that gives birth to our behavior. When it comes to the midos, let's look at the first three midos for our purposes: Chesed, Gevura, and Tiferes. Chesed, associated with Avram Avinu, is an expressive loving kindness that seeks no distinction, no boundary. It is uninterested in any naysaying. It just wants to give. It wants to give. It wants to give. It wants to give. The giving is not so much about the receiver of the giving as much as it's based on the giving that the giver does. The Baal Chesed, the Ish Chesed. Chesed does not take into consideration the experiences of the other. It just wants to look at the world, see good, give good, and do good, no questions asked. That is the Ahava of Avraham. That is the self-motivated loving kindness that comes about when a person is aware that there are no distinctions between persons. There are no distinctions between souls, and all that I want to do is say yes and give and give and give. Gevura, on the other hand, severity or din, or the avoda of Yitzchak, is the polar opposite of the avoda of Avram. Avram is giving without limitation. Yitzchak is limitation without giving. Gevura seeks to rescind the giving. It seeks to set boundaries up. It seeks to ensure that the giving is given over to the proper receptacle, because without the proper receptacle, the giving can turn into something destructive, as we very well know. And so the act of Gevura, the motivation that comes about by self-overcoming and setting boundaries and setting limits within myself, not saying yes all the time, the capacity to say no, as opposed to Avram Avinu's yes. That is the avoda of Yitzchak. So when there's chesed, there's pure chesed, not taking a look at whether it's worthy or not. When there's din, it's only based on worthiness or not. So then what is rachamim? Rachamim comes along as embodied in the trait of Yaakov Avinu, which is a composite of Avram and Yitzchak. It's important to note that anytime we have a triadic breakdown of chesed, gevura, tiferes, right, left, middle, up, down, center, it's not simply a dialectic that says, okay, there's one, there's two, and now there's three that takes care of both, but rather the third, the middle, the emtsa'i, the tiferes, the Yaakov Avinu, the kav emtsa'i, takes from the chesed of Avram, takes from the gevura of Yitzchak, and does not negate either one of them, but rather takes their essential points and allows them to manifest in a paradoxical unity that is greater than both chesed and gevura. It has the capacity to unify the two of them without negating either of them. Yaakov is the bechir sheba avos because he gives consideration to Avram's midah as well as Yitzchak's midah. So when we talk about rachamim, we have to understand that rachamim is something unique in that it takes into consideration chesed and it takes into consideration din. And the way that we can understand rachamim is as follows. When a person sees somebody doing something that is askance, when a person sees somebody acting in a certain way, speaking in a certain way, thinking in a certain way, dysfunctional a certain way, looking a certain way, framing themselves in a certain way, carrying themselves in a certain way, engaged in what we might conceive as negative character traits, engaged in what we may consider as faulty character traits, engaged in what we might consider goodness. When we look at an individual, we tend to judge them based on their worthiness or their unworthiness. Worthiness says, okay, chesed, you're worthy. Gvura says you're unworthy. Rachamim is the ability to look at an individual, to look at myself, to look at the world, to look at an individual, to look at the Rabbeinu Shleilim and realize that while at first glance on the level of chesed, if I were to try and consider whether this person were worthy of my compassion in this moment, chances are they would not be. On paper, they have lost that right. They have done something to offend. There's a resentment. There's a frustration. There's a legitimate claim against that person's worthiness. And the stance of Gevura would say, do not give to that person. They have messed up. They are not worthy, et cetera, et cetera. Yaakov Avinu's Midah Rachamim looks at the individual. And it looks at the content of their lives. It looks at what they do. And it says, yes, while at first glance, what you do is not in accordance with what would be deserving of receiving this loving kindness. Nevertheless, because I know what it's like to be a human, because I can empathize with what it means to have multiple drives within me, to be multiple, to have many forces within me, because on my own relative level, I can understand what it means to be a ben adam, a baal bechira, and the struggles inherent with that, because I can reach down deep into my own personal experience, and ultimately at the core of it, it's all the same. It's the human condition, the vulnerability, the lack of control, the anxiety, the excitement, the hopes, the dreams. Because I can reach into my own experience and see how just like I'm a human being, you're also a human being. Memela, all of the din, all of the frustration and the resentments fall away. They don't fall away in the sense that they haven't happened, but they fall away in the sense that I'm not going to hold you more responsible than I would want somebody to hold myself. I get that it is hard. The world is hard. Life is hard. And you deserve compassion. So compassion is not saying, oh, the person is all good and running, or claiming that the person is all bad. It's recognizing that there is complexities to the human spirit, and human beings are conditioned by their environments, and we are functions of microsystems and macrosystems that inform our nekuda sabachira. And ultimately, it is safe to assume that people are trying their best, just like I am trying my best in one way or another, in spite of the frustration, the anger, the fear, the anxiety, the excitement, et cetera, et cetera. Just as I'm trying my best, so too I can assume the other person is trying their best. And in that moment, when I allow myself to have compassion on the other, when I allow myself through the empathic gaze of myself and to elevate and abstract my own experience and to frame the other's experience through my own worldview, then instead of being filled with anger and frustration, I begin to be filled with a certain sense of compassion, of shared human experience, of wanting to hug the person rather than to berate them. And there is a remarkable, remarkable teaching that brings this out very clearly. The Baal HaTanya, Zchus Yagen Aleinu, quoting his Rebbe, the Magid of Mezrich, and he quotes this in Lev HaTanya, in Perek Lamed Beis in Tanya, which speaks about the hischabrus and the love between each soul, and when a person sees another yid, to realize that their mamish is no distinction whatsoever. And that's the nekuda of ahava, the ahava mesuteres, the unbridled love that allows me to see unity everywhere. And when I see unity everywhere, then I'm able to accept the love of the other as the love of myself. But the Baal HaTanya makes an acquiescence for what it means to be a human being. And he says, what happens? What happens when love dies? What happens when a person is incapable of loving? What happens when the resentments are so strong and the exhaustion is so thick and the conditions of life are so difficult that I can't find it within myself to have compassion on the other? I can't find it within myself to look at them and say, you know what? You probably didn't mean to do that. You probably didn't wake up this morning and say, how can I deliberately affect this person or that person? And the likelihood is that my perception and my mind of what you've done has nothing to do with your perception and your mind of what you've done. And so what happens then? What happens when the ahava dies? What happens when I can't find that place? So the Magid and the Baal HaTanya brings it down. He brings a very interesting pasuk. Beis Yaakov asher pada es Avram, the house of Yaakov that redeemed Avraham. And the Medrash says that Avram Avinu was saved from the Kivshan Ha'esh. Avram Avinu was thrown into the furnace by Nimrod, and he was saved in the merit of Yaakov. So the Magid and the Baal HaTanya asks, how is this possible? What is it about the merit of Yaakov, who comes way after Avram and who's lower theoretically than Avram, that has the capacity of redeeming Avraham? And very simply put, they say as follows: the Midah of Avraham is love. The Midah of Yaakov is Rachamim. When love dies, when the natural reasons for absolute love, unbridled passion, when all of those feel-good experiences of wanting to say yes to the world, wanting to say yes to the other, wanting to say yes to myself, when the world is dark and that falls away, when people are strange and I'm a stranger and faces look ugly and the streets are uneven, when all of those things are happening, what happens then? What happens when I can't love? What happens when the first feeling is resentment towards myself, towards God, towards the other? In that moment, it's Beis Yaakov Asher Padas Avram. We have to be Me'oir Rachamim Rabim. We have to look at the other and say, you are a human being just like I'm a human being. And just like I'm a human being who had ups and downs and hopes and dreams and failures and successes and anxieties and excitements, so too, you also had all of those experiences. And you also had parents who loved you. And you also had parents who tried with you. And you also had siblings who fought with you and who loved you. And you also had scenarios where you experienced life. Each and every person is a world to themselves. And when I enable myself to not even judge, just to believe that this person has a basically decent enough reason to be functioning the way they function, it is hard out there. When a person acknowledges that it is hard to be a functional yid in this world with midos tovos and ahava and yira and amuna and dveikus and a belief in themselves and a belief in the Rabbeinu Shleilam, when I believe that it's difficult and I can understand that it's difficult, then I can find compassion for the other, because then I can realize that it's difficult for them as well. And when I can open myself up to the fact that there is a mutual difficulty, that gives birth to the shared empathic reality of wanting to hug the other person because we're in this together. It's a struggle, it's a hard thing, and the only way to do it, say the tzaddikim, is to realize that we're in it together. But forget about being frum and thinking about other people. This is the way we are ma'ir rachamim on ourselves, by being compassionate to the other, by empathizing and realizing that there's a context behind the content. And instead of judging the content, to open ourselves up to the possibility of compassion and loving another without being taken advantage of, but seeing the good in the other person's motivations and realizing that this person is likely careless and self-centered rather than evil and terrible. But this type of histaklus, this type of looking, awakens the rachamim rabim of the Rabbeinu Shleilam, which we so desperately need, because we're also liable and we're also guilty. And we want the Rabbeinu Shleilam to look at us and say, in spite of the fact that you're guilty, I get it. I put you here. I made this world. I put you in these scenarios. I get it. I know what it's like, says the Rabbeinu Shleilam. I made this world so that I have compassion on you. And Rabbi Nachman of Breslov says as follows. And Rabbi Nachman was a master of compassion. His whole Torah is a Torah of rachamim. His whole Torah is a Torah coming to help us take ourselves less seriously and validate our experiences, not accept our experiences, but validate them so that the change can come about in a healthy way rather than a shame-induced way. And Rabbi Nachman says as follows in Torah Kuf Yud Tes, Ki kesha adam sarach l'rachamim, when a person needs compassion, Hashem yisparach shalich l'rachmanus, Hashem sends him the ability to have compassion and empathy on another person, shu yirachim al acher, v'ayidei zem rachmim alav, and by having compassion on the other, I awaken the compassion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can have on me. As Chazal have told us, Kol Merachim Al Abrios Merachim Alav. Kol Merachim Al Abrios Merachim Alav. Anybody who has compassion and an empathic eye and an akuda tova to see in the other person is mamela going to be seen in that same way. And it's a mida keneged mida, because when I orient my eyes to see good, then mamela I'm seeing good. Other people don't even exist. They're all reflections of my own inner world experience. And it's my job to have a histaklus of rachmanus each and every moment, because that's my bechira. And I can choose to see the nekuda tova in somebody else. Seeing a nekuda tova does not mean denying the negativity. It means seeing the nekuda tova within the negativity, which will allow us to deal with the negativity in the positive and healthy way. It doesn't mean being a walking mat that ignores difficulty. It means framing difficulty in a way that it can potentially be redeemed by way of rachmanus and by way of compassion, like we read in this last week's parsha, in parshas Re'eh. And I'm going to give you rachamim. Why am I going to give you rachamim? I'm going to give you rachamim, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that you could have the capacity to be merachim on another person. This is the grand secret of Elul, to see the other person and to contextualize, to take 3 seconds and not allow my mind to go into that negative, resentment-oriented perspective, which ultimately is just harming me anyway, because most people don't care bichlal whatsoever what they do. It's my job to be able to judge the other favorably. There's a teaching from the Meshiloach on the Pasuk Ayin Ba'ayin Yiru B'Shuv Hashem Sion, Rav Yitzchak Maya Morgenstern Shlita, following the derech of some of the Admorim and Chabad uses this pasuk ayin ba'ayin as the davening, as the tefillah at the end of the Torah, to be ma'ira what it is that we want. We want ayin ba'ayin. We want to be able to see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, not speculate about the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's existence, not even need emuna. We'll always need emuna at the end of the day, because kedushas elamal mikedushas seichem. But ayin ba'ayin, to see it in such a way that I don't have to receive from those who are above me, nor do those below me have to receive from me, but each and every person is going to be panim el panim with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Lo yichnaf oid merecha v'hayu einayich ro'as as merecha. We will see it itself, ayin ba'ayin. And so the pasuk starts off with hinei kol sofiach amru yachdav, and the Meshiloach has a mashal. He says, "What is it? What is this pluralization of the watchmen? Who are these watchmen that are going to be ma'ir the geula to bring about this light of ayin ba'ayin?" And the Meshiloach, in a way that only the Meshiloach could describe, is as follows. He says, "Each person in their lives goes through a shvira. Each person goes through a gehenim. Each person goes through a metzias, a tzimtzum, a shvira, all of the difficulties. Gam ha'olam nasan b'libam. Each person is carrying a world. Each person is carrying the drama and the trauma and the baggage and all of what it means to be born into this world and have our neshamas ripped from a place of purity and drawn down into a place of impurity that is referred to by the Baal HaTanya as the choshech ha'kaful u'mechupal, the double darkness, by Rabbi Nachman as the hastar shebetoich hastar, the concealment within the concealment, by the Chazal as the dir b'tachtonim mamish, by the Leshem as the prat hayoter mufurat sheyach laparit, the lowest possible, irreducible, particularized particular that can possibly be particularized. What the Rashash refers to as oylam hazeh hanosin b'mei hanachash, that this world is found in the belly of the snake. What the Ramchal refers to as being nimsa b'soicha melchama, being already in a state of war. It's also a garden. It's also the possibility of Gan Eden, but it's hard in this world. It's hard in this world, and each person is going to see their own experiences of this world prior to redemption, and they're going to wonder, how did I make it? Nobody had it as hard as me. Nobody went through anything like I did. And when redemption arrives, we're going to run into the street and we're going to come to our brothers and friends and we're going to say, Achi, you have no idea what I've been through. You have no idea what it took for me to get to this place. You have no idea what a miracle it is that I survived. And after explaining his own Megillah, his friend is going to turn to him with eyes and tears in his eyes and say, Achi, I also had this. I also went through this. I also struggled like this. And when a person comes to realize that they were not alone, because we're all struggling in this together, at that point it's Beis Yaakov Asher Pada Es Avram, the Rachmanis, the Rachamim Rabim, that we can look at people and say, you're not doing this on purpose. You don't want to harm me today. You didn't wake up this morning and decide that you wanted to cut me off in traffic and cause my life to be a little bit more difficult. And when we can find the Nekudas Tovos in ourselves and others, we can be Ma'ir Rachamim Rabim from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And more simply, we can live calmer. We can live without the resentments. We can live without drinking the poison all day, hoping that it's going to hurt the invisible faces that we think theoretically harmed us, when in truth they didn't even. We're saving ourselves here. The best azach in the veld to do another person a favor is not for the other person. The other person is fine. It's for me. It's for me to open myself up and order myself to the possibility that people are not out there to get me, and that the world is not a bad place, and that the world is not a jungle, but rather that it's a gun. And then when I can cultivate this image in the Ir Miklat, in Elul, then I can enter into a new year with eyes of compassion, with eyes of redemption, of seeing the vulnerability in the other and valuing the other for the efforts that they're putting in, and being human with the other and crying with the other and saying, I understand it's hard in this world and I'm here to help. How can I help you is the ultimate question that a Yid should be able to ask another Yid. And Be'ezer Hashem, when we can be ma'ir the rachamim on ourselves and the rachamim on others, and we can contextualize and remove all shame. There's no room for shame. There's guilt, there's liability, there's responsibility. But shame is when I look at my content of experience without the context that gives birth to my experience. And I need to open myself up to contextualizing and judging myself favorably and judging others favorably as well, so that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam can judge us favorably in turn. Be'ezer Hashem.
The music is by Zusha. For more from the Sheffa Podcast Network, visit our Facebook page and please subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts.